Well, good morning, Sovereign Grace Church. I hope and trust that you are doing well this morning. Unfortunately, we're just not able to meet together this Sunday, but Lord willing, we'll be able to meet again next Sunday. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at just one verse this morning from Philippians 4, verse 5. And so if you have your Bibles, would you please open them up and just read along with me. So verse 5 says this: "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that, Lord, we get to open up your word together as a church, even though we're not together this morning. We trust that your mercy is new. We trust that your grace is sufficient, and Lord, we trust that you really are sovereign, that you know exactly what is happening all the time, and that you are at work in all things. And so we trust that this Sunday, it's good for us. You're going to accomplish your purposes in and through us for our good, even though that we can't meet together in person. And oh Lord, how we long to be together next Sunday. And so, Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that you would bless us as we spend time in this verse, and that you would help us to be people who are reasonable, people who trust in you and love you more than anything else in this world. And it's revealed in the way in which we live our lives together in relationship with one another. And so, Lord, please bless our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So a question for you as we just begin our time in this verse is, what do you want to be known for? When you think, or when people think about you, what do you hope pops into their mind? When I was graduating from high school, my senior class would vote on different categories, from things like best dressed to most likely to succeed. And I wasn't known for any of those categories, but I did win most conceited. Now that might surprise some of you, but if you know me, or if you knew me back then, it wouldn't have surprised you. I was known by my peers, by my classmates, for being arrogant. It's not something that I'm proud of, and it's not something that I want to be known for today, but the reality is if you had interacted with me during high school, you would have noticed that I was arrogant. I was a proud young man. So I share that with you, really, to introduce and ask this question: What do you want to be known for? And we could be known for just a number of things. We could be known for dressing well. We could be known as a likable person. We could be known as a good neighbor. We could be known as competent and qualified boss or employee. We could be known for our sense of humor. What do you want to be known for? Perhaps you're godlier than this, and you want to be known for your biblical knowledge and exceptional prayer life. And so you want to be known as a godly, God-fearing person. I fight the temptation almost every week, to be known as a great or a good pastor, especially when it comes to preaching and care for others. And so I fight this temptation to be known as a great preacher or as a great pastor. My heart ultimately wants to serve the Lord. My heart ultimately wants to serve all of you, but I find this seemingly good motive being corrupted at times by my self-interest and my own pride. And so we can be known for a lot of things, but this morning we find ourselves being commanded by God from his word to be known for our reasonableness. We're called to let our reasonableness be known to everyone. And so that's really the main point of this message this morning, this verse. It's simple. It's let your reasonableness be known to all. And now we're going to dig into this truth and explore it by asking three questions this morning. And so the first question is this: what does it mean to be reasonable? If we're commanded to let our reasonableness be known to all, then we need to understand what Paul is talking about here in this verse. Now, I don't know what translation of the Bible you're using, but most likely you're using the ESV. But in other versions of the Bible, instead of the word reasonableness, we see the word gentleness. The reason for this is that it's not easy translating the original Greek word used here into English. One commentator began defining this word that the ESV translates reasonableness by stating what it's not before he states what it's like. And so here's what he had to say. He said, it refers to the exact opposite of a spirit of contention and self-seeking, which is why the NIV opts for gentleness. But this gentleness must not be confused with being a wimp, with the kind of person whose personality is akin to a wet dishcloth. What is in view is a certain kind of willed, self-effacing kindness. So a reasonable person is a gentle person, but they're also not a wet dishcloth. They don't just sort of fold when things get tough. A reasonable person is not a contentious person. He's not looking for a fight in every conversation. He's not looking to jump into a good debate for the sake of arguing his perspective and opinion, even if his perspective and opinions are right. People who are contentious, if you think about it, they're exhausting to be around because it feels like every conversation is a debate. Every conversation is something that they have to win. You might say black, they're going to say white. You might say church starts at 9, which it starts at 9 these days. And they might say, no, it starts at 9:03 because that's when everybody seems to be showing up. Contentious people have to be right all the time, even when they're wrong. But reasonable people are willing to be wrong even when they're right, because they're not looking for a fight in every conversation. They're not looking to debate everything. They don't have to win everything. And so they're willing to lay certain things down for the sake of the bigger picture here. And so a reasonable person is not a wet dishcloth. He's not a wimp backing down from every challenge and difficult situation. He's not afraid to speak and share the truth when it's needed to be shared. He just communicates the truth with kindness and gentleness in a self-effacing way, meaning he's not out to make a name for himself. He doesn't have to win every argument. He doesn't need to be in the spotlight because he's perfectly content living in the background. And so in a sense, a reasonable person, I would say, is a humble person. Peter O'Brien, in his commentary, commenting on this verse, said the following. He said, a humble, patient steadfastness, which is able to submit to injustice, disgrace, and maltreatment without hatred or malice, trusting God in spite of it all. And so from what Peter O'Brien has to say, we learn that a reasonable person ultimately trusts God. A reasonable person doesn't have to win everything, doesn't feel like they need to debate everything, because ultimately their hope and their trust is in God, and they're willing to endure injustice, disgrace, and maltreatment from others without responding with hatred and malice. And so he's just getting at this fact that a reasonable person is willing to be wrong sometimes, even though they might be right, or they're willing to respond to somebody who is wrong without hatred and malice. And so again, they're just not looking for a fight all the time. So my question is, do you know anybody like this? Do you know anyone who has ever endured injustice, disgrace, and maltreatment without responding with hatred and malice? Now, if you can, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to take a look at verse 3, because I think what Paul does here is he gives us an illustration for us in this section of somebody who's reasonable, and that somebody is Jesus. And so look with me at verse 3 in chapter 2. He says this, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And now he goes on and he's going to describe Christ Jesus. And he just says this, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, was reasonable. Though he was in the form of God, he did not insist upon his rights as God as he stood in front of the angry crowds who were screaming, crucify him, over and over again. He did not insist upon his rights as God when he was being questioned by Pontius Pilate, but instead he remained silent. As he was getting beaten by the Roman guards, he continued to endure injustice without hatred. As he hung on the cross and was left to die a humiliating death, he responded by praying and asking God the Father to forgive those who were crucifying him. See, Jesus didn't deserve to die. As God in the flesh, what he deserved is he deserved to be worshipped. But in his reasonableness, he endured the penalty for our sins to save us from God's wrath so that we would be forgiven and receive eternal life. Jesus was reasonable. So what does it mean for us to let our reasonableness be known? It means, I think in an essence, it means we're willing to pick up our cross. We're willing to deny ourselves and follow Jesus Christ. It means we're willing to endure injustice and sin from others without hating them in return, because ultimately our hope is in the Lord. It means when we get into conflicts with our spouse or with others, it's really not about winning as much as it is about serving. It means not getting all bent out of shape when things don't go the way that we want them to go. It may mean for some of us less talking and more listening, meaning we don't have to win every conflict. We don't have to be so technical and precise, making a conflict within a conflict because the details are wrong. And what I mean by that is I think this happens a lot in the midst of conflicts, not all the time, but I think it happens a lot where we might find ourselves in the midst of a conflict with someone, discussing something that didn't go the right way, and then all of a sudden, because somebody says something with maybe a little bit of attitude, or they say something that you think is off a bit, that instead of working through the actual conflict, now you find yourself focused on their tone or a word they said. They might have said always, they might have said never, and I think we all do this at times where we move away from what we're really trying to work through and we just begin to focus on this technicality where somebody might have said always, but they don't really mean always. They're just trying to get a point across. And so instead of working through the conflict, I think a person who's unreasonable will then begin to be fixated on that one word and start to fight about that one word. And so a reasonable person doesn't fight about everything. A reasonable person doesn't make things so technical all the time. I'm not saying that the truth doesn't matter. I think we have to work through conflicts with truth, and we have to search what's right and what's wrong. But I think it takes wisdom. It takes a reasonableness to figure out what do we really need to focus on at this moment. And in there is a gentleness. And so we're not fighting back. We're working through things. We're listening to what others are really saying. So when somebody says always, they don't always mean always. What they mean is this thing right here that they're talking about in that moment is a big deal to them. And it might feel like always, but it's not really always. But we don't have to always focus on those things. So truth matters, but we want to be reasonable when we work through conflict. We want to be reasonable when we deal with others in relationship. And so being reasonable means that we're humble, we listen, and we're gentle. It means responding to hatred and injustice with love and kindness. And so we don't respond to hatred and injustice with more hatred and more injustice. We respond to hatred and injustice with love and kindness. This leads us to our second point. Who should we be reasonable toward? And the answer is found in verse 5. It says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." When Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was encouraging them to be reasonable toward everyone, meaning people in the church and people outside the church who were hating them, maybe, and were persecuting them for following Jesus. And so when he says everyone, he means everyone. He means your best friends. He means the people that you love to be around. He means your family members. He means your neighbors. He means the strangers that you're meeting for the very first time. You see, these people that were hating on the Philippians, what they were doing is they were making life difficult for them. But Paul urged them to be reasonable in their response to them, to be gentle in their response to them. Not a wet dishcloth, but to be humble and gentle in response to the people around them who were hating them. And so they were to return the hate with love. One of my favorite sections of scripture comes from Luke 6, 27 through 36, where Jesus taught this same principle to his disciples. And so you can turn over there to Luke 6, starting in verse 27. It says the following. He says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Aren't you glad? When I read this, that verse, verse 35, it jumps out of that section of scripture at me. And I just think where he says this, "But love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." And here's the section that jumps out to me. "For he is kind to the ungrateful and evil." Aren't you glad that God is kind to the ungrateful and evil? And the reason it jumps off the page at me is because do you know who the ungrateful and evil are? We are the ungrateful and evil ones. We're the ones who rejected Jesus. But God responded to our ungratefulness and our evil with mercy. He didn't treat us the way we deserve to be treated. Instead, he killed his only son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sins. Instead of punishing us for our sins, instead of returning wrath upon our evil, he gives us his mercy and his grace, and he saves us by punishing his son, Jesus Christ. See, if you're a Christian, you need to know the only reason that you're not a hater right now, the only reason that you're actually a believer is because of God's kindness and love towards you, because he has been merciful towards us. He didn't treat us the way we deserve to be treated for our sins. And if this is true, which it is, then who are we to pick and choose who we're going to be reasonable towards? Our reasonableness, our gentleness should not be reserved only for our close friends, only for our family members, only for those neighbors that we really like, or only for those people in the church. It's meant to be known to everyone around us. Several years ago, Sarah and I had been trying to reach out to a particular neighbor. Our relationship with them, it started out really well. We would hang out together. They had young kids. They would be in our yard. We'd be in their yard. Our kids would play together. But it all changed at one point where a conflict broke out in their marriage. And as they were walking through this conflict, what they did is they tried to put us in the middle of it. And not just in the middle of it, they put us in a position where they wanted us to choose sides. And Sarah and I chose not to choose sides. And one of our neighbors did not like the decision that we had made. And for months, she ignored us. Whenever we would wave at her, whenever we would see her, we would try to be kind to her, try to be reasonable, try to be gentle towards her, and she would ignore us. She would just look away. We'd offer help to her when we knew she needed help, and she would just decline it. So there are times in this relationship where all I wanted to do was not respond with a reasonableness, was not respond with mercy. There were times when all I wanted to do was go toilet paper her house, but we didn't do that. Instead, we continue to pray for this couple. We continue to pursue these people and just wait for opportunities given to us by God to serve them and hopefully soften her heart. And that's exactly what happened. Over time, God softened her heart as we continued to pursue her. Now, it would have been easy just to move on from her, but she was our neighbor, and God calls for us to be kind and merciful or reasonable to all people. So when God says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone, he means everyone, and this includes everyone. This includes those neighbors that might not like you. This includes those family members who might be really difficult to be around. So then, here's again my question. Are you letting your reasonableness be known to everyone in your life? Are you known for being gentle in your response to others in the midst of conflict? A good way to help us in evaluating our reasonableness is to begin with those close and trusted relationships and then move outward. So meaning this, if you're married, ask your spouse, how do I respond when I don't get what I want from you? Or how do I respond in the midst of a conflict? Do you think that it's easy to work through conflicts with me? Am I gentle in my responses to you? And if you have kids, ask them this same question. Or if you're not married and you don't have kids, talk to your close friends. Ask them to help you evaluate your gentleness and your reasonableness in the way in which you respond to others, especially those who are difficult. Evaluate your relationships at work with your boss and fellow employees. When you find yourself in a board meeting or you find yourself working through a sticking point at your job with another employee or somebody else, a coworker that you work with, ask them or just begin to pay attention to how do those conversations go? Do you find yourself arguing a lot? Do you find yourself being harsh? Or are you somebody who listens well? Somebody who takes a genuine interest in what somebody might be saying so that you might understand and that you might find a solution to work towards? Or do you find yourself just getting all bent out of shape? Do the people you work with like to actually work with you? That's a good question to ask. Do they like to actually have conversations with you? If you're reasonable, the chances are they'll like to work with you. They'll like to work through conflicts with you because they know that you're listening. They know that you're not going to attack them. They know that you're not going to be harsh towards them. Evaluate your conversations with others. One of my goals, whenever I sit down with someone is to make them talk more than me. And so this is an application, I guess, if you're thinking about how can I be reasonable? And so when I have conversations with people, I don't like to talk all the time. When I find myself in a meeting with somebody, what I like to do is I like to listen more than I find myself speaking. And so I want to just encourage you, one of the ways that you can grow in being reasonable is to find yourself listening more than you find yourself talking. Start asking questions of the people around you so that you might gain a better understanding of what they're actually trying to say. This leads us to our third and final question. Why should we be reasonable? Why should we be reasonable to everyone? Why should we be kind to those who hurt us or take advantage of us? The answer to this question, again, is found right here in this verse where it says, "The Lord is at hand." Philippians 4, verse 5, it says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." What this means is that the Lord is near. The Lord is very near. The Lord is present in our conversations. He's present in the life that we're living. And the Lord is also coming again to judge the living and the dead and to bring us home to be with him forever in heaven. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul wrote the following. He said, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." And so in a sense, what he's saying is, this is not our home. This is not our home. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then your citizenship is in heaven. All of the pain and suffering we experience here on earth, it's only temporary, for there is a day that is quickly approaching us when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to return to earth to judge the living and the dead. And on this day, what he's going to do, he's going to reward everyone who has confessed him as their Lord and Savior with eternal life. This reward is going to be far greater than all of our suffering and trials combined. He's going to transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. He's going to get rid of sin and death completely and give us eternal joy and eternal life. And so the Lord is at hand. We need to remember when we find ourselves in the midst of a conflict, when we find ourselves interacting with somebody who might be trying to hurt us, somebody who's just contentious, somebody who's difficult to be around, that we're called to let our reasonableness be known to them because the Lord is at hand. Because the big perspective here is that we have a Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ who died to save us, who has united us together with him through faith, who is very near to us in the midst of our present suffering or in the midst of our present conflict, and who is also coming again to judge the living and the dead and reward everyone who believes in him with eternal life. And so the big perspective is, this little conflict that you might find yourself in is really not that big of a deal in comparison to eternity. And so we don't have to win that fight because we know that Jesus has already won on the cross for us, and we will realize this final victory on this final day when he comes again. And so that perspective is meant to inform how we walk through conflict with others, how we interact with difficult people, how we interact with people who are trying to hurt us, like they were trying to do to the Philippians who were believing in Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is at hand. And so we can endure injustice and be reasonable because the Lord is near. We can endure opposition and be reasonable because the Lord is near. We can respond to others' sin with gentleness because the Lord is near. We can let our reasonableness be known to everyone because the Lord is near, because we're trusting in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we don't have to trust in our ability to be right all the time or to communicate in such a way that everybody sees our point of view every time so that we might always look right. We don't have to pursue that. We don't have to be exhausting in that way, because ultimately we put our hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is near, who has won the battle for us on the cross. See, Jesus hasn't left us to figure life out on our own. He died for our sins to save us from God's wrath. He was raised from the dead in victory over sin and death. He is seated on his throne right now, ruling and reigning over all things, including our tiny little lives. And he will return to reward everyone who believes in him. In light of the Lord's nearness, in light of the reality of who Jesus Christ is, what he has done for us through his death and resurrection, what he's doing for us right now, and what he promises to do for us in the future. In light of all of these things, church, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. And Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that you would anoint us with the power and the strength to trust you, to hope in you. Lord, to enter into conflict or relationships with difficult people and be reasonable. Lord, be gentle, be kind, be humble towards them. Lord, help us to live this out, that our reasonableness would be known to everyone, and ultimately you would be glorified in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening. Again, Lord willing, we will be meeting next Sunday at the King's Academy at 9 a.m. Bring your chairs. We'll share an update if something changes on that. But as you enjoy this Sunday, may the Lord bless you. May he pour out his Spirit upon you, and may you experience his grace in abundance. God bless.